do you listen to other radio programs and then say,
where's the beef?
Tune in each day to Omega Man Radio,
the show that will put meat on your spirit man's bones.
All right, welcome back to Omega Man Radio, episode 384. Special guest tonight is Nathan Liel. His website is watchmanscry.com. And that's the cry tonight, folks. It's the cry of a watchman who has received a warning from the Lord to sound the alarm and wake up the people out there. Okay, to the people that are awake, it's a reminder, keep your swords sharpened. I'm talking the sword of the Spirit. Have the word of God in you. Keep the full armor on and be alert and watching. Like Jesus pleaded with the disciples as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, can't you watch even for 1 hour? And he asked them that many times, and then they didn't wake up. He said, well, sleep on. You know, those that were coming for me are here now. You know what? To those that are asleep, this is a wake-up call that there are events converging on us very fast at breakneck speed. Look at how fast this week has gone. Now, that's becoming the order of the day. Time's flying by. At the blink of an eye. I woke up this morning, and by the time I got my news, okay, which I got off the internet, stock market had fallen again. We've got Obama says to King Assad in Syria, I want you to step down. You know, they're fighting they got an internal revolution going on over there, like over in Libya. You've got Israel having to defend itself because the Arabs are trying to bust through the border. And they're launching more terrorist attacks over there. I believe it was in Gaza. And they dealt a blow to Israel, and Israel is going to have to defend itself. Okay, that's the land that God gave it. And you can stand for Israel, or you can fall away with the rest. Bless my people, I'll bless you, and I'll bless you. Curse my people, and I curse you. That's God himself speaking in Genesis 12:3. And God means what he says. We've got the vice president over in China. And I heard that they gave him a tongue lashing. Who are we really to say anything to China? If we got them angry, okay, what do? They cut off the supply line. Just about every single good you and I have, probably the shoes you're wearing right now, are made in China. The computer that you're using, made in China. All the parts for just about any device you have in your home, probably made in China. From blender to vacuum cleaner, you name it. All they got to do is cut off the supply line. All right, or they dump the dollars that they're the largest holder of on the market, crash the economy. They've got us over a proverbial barrel. You know what? We've dug a deep ditch for ourselves. It's a sad day to be alive here, but you know what? There is hope. And for those that are not even awake at all, they don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior. This is a red alert to them that your time is running out to make a decision. Whether you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're going to continue to serve yourself. And people want to knee-jerk and blame God. Well, I don't understand. Why would God allow this to happen? Folks, it rains on the just and the unjust. You know, blame it on Adam and Eve. It's not God's fault. But you know what? God loves you and I enough, and he's long-suffering, not wishing it, desire anybody would perish, okay? And he brings a warning before he has to pour out judgment. Because if God didn't judge, my friends, the innocent would perish. That's God's science of judgment. He lets the cup of iniquity fill up. And when it gets to the point where it's overflowing, if he does not judge, the innocent would not stand a chance. They would all perish. He's having to judge, my friends, and he will have to do that in many cases using your enemies as his sword of judgment. He's warned us. So for those that have not made a decision for Christ, your time is running out. There's so many events that are coming upon us, even as we speak, that your opportunity, your window of opportunity, that door, as we were talking about the first hour, is shutting very rapidly. There may even only be a crack in it. Interesting, huh? Not even talking about the 10 virgin parable. You know, the 10 virgins, 5 had oil, 5 didn't. And when the cry came out, they went out to find oil. They had to buy it. And they got over. That door was shut. They did not get in, my friends. I guess that's another program. Well, you got in tonight, and you're here for a reason, and we need to prepare spiritually. We need to do what we can physically. We need to ask God for precise instructions in this hour, and God talks all the time. We just don't listen many times, or we do, and we say, well, I didn't want that answer. Maybe you'll give me another one. I'm here to say, folks, this may be the only warning some of you get out there to get your spirit man in order, to get your house in order out there. There's nowhere it says God had to warn us multiple times. One may be all that you get. We just don't know. But what I do know is no one is guaranteed tomorrow, and today is a day of salvation. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Amen. Let's get Nathan back on. Brother Nathan, welcome back to Omega Man Radio. The microphone is yours.
Thank you, brother. In the previous last few minutes, we were talking about some of the prophecies of those that have seen glimpses of the end of America. And I was mentioning Shannon, and I just want to share this because I don't know what it means, but by sharing it, it'll be on record, Shannon. I saw the Statue of Liberty drunk. She took a drink of a cup, and she started staggering. And then I said I heard a voice, but the voice was actually my wife. I didn't see her, but she was getting my attention, and she said, P died today. So, Shannon, this is what I'm just wondering. Now, again, the handicap does not allow us to see everything, but I've wondered, what does P mean? Now, of course, how muzzled are we to discuss this? If it has to do with the resident of Pennsylvania Avenue, if you know what I'm talking about. So how dangerous is it to say this? Well, if I saw it in a prophetic vision or dream, those that are listening in right now, that's what it was. It was a word from God. So if it has to do with the resident of Pennsylvania Avenue, this message was from the Holy Spirit. I don't know what P is or who P is, but that's what I saw. And this is what I've wondered about. You know, God loves throwing curveballs, and when we think we have it figured out, boom, it plays out in a new and different way. In my natural heart, in my mind, it seems like Obama is a shoo-in. He's going to get reelected. But then again, will the people that pull the strings say, you know, we're tired of that knucklehead. Now let's get the next phase in. And are they going to let Rick Perry win? You know, that's what I wonder. I don't know, but I remember in 2008 when Mr. Perry went to the Bilderberg meeting, was he given his grooming orders at that time? And was he told that your day will come and you're going to, you know, you'll be the ticket? And then the thing that I wonder is Ms. Bachman, since she's so high in the numbers before he entered, a Perry-Bachman ticket, could that really win? Is it too conservative? Will it scare those Republicans that are more in the middle? Will they say that's too religious of a package? I don't know, but let me say this. I heard the words P died today, so does that mean Perry? I don't know, but here's the other thing. I remember a prophecy from another individual. I don't remember who it was. Maybe you do or one of your listeners remembers, but there was a prophecy that was made in the 30s about the seven things that would be the seven signs to the end of America, and one of the final signs was that the final president of America would be a woman who would be very beautiful but very cruel. So, you know, 4 years ago I was thinking, now that can't be Hillary. I mean, we're all adults here. We have eyes. Could it be Hillary? No, probably not. So, some people are blessed genetically with some of the appealing looks over others. And of course we know that Miss Sarah Palin is a pretty woman, and so is Bachman. So
I tell you, the Omega Man is no Fabio.
Oh.
Keep
so
going,
I'm
brother.
I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know. I've just wondered. That's just Nathan wondering out loud. But I don't want to take too much time with that. I just wanted to mention it. Now, when you were talking a few minutes ago, you were speaking to the listener that maybe is not ready or is holding off. I want to say something. To those that do not open their hearts up to God, they're not going to make it. I mean, plain and simple, they will not endure. There's a prophecy in the book of Isaiah, Chapter 8, that coincides with what we read in the book of Revelation. Now, in Revelation, we read over and over, still, they did not repent. God is shaking the earth. He's quaking. He's back and forth. The mountains are doing their thing. There's fire in the sky. We have 100-pound pieces of ice. We know about the events of Revelation, but the people are hard-hearted, and they don't repent. Why is that? Well, in Isaiah chapter 8, there's a verse that says why, and I want to read it right here. In Isaiah 8:20. It says, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So this means that they don't like the words of God, the warnings of God, the admonitions of God, the promises of God, his word. They don't like it. So there's no light in them. So what happens when there's no light within a person? Jesus said the eyes are the windows of the soul. And if there's light inside of us, we'll know where we're going. We'll be able to see. In verse 21, it says they will pass through hard pressed and hungry. Now think about that. If they do not have light in them, they don't appreciate the word of God, they're going to be hungry, hard pressed. What else? And it shall happen when they are hungry. Now in the weeks and years ahead, there's going to be hungry people when the crash really gets going. People are going to have empty cupboards, empty pantries. The children will have stomachs that are not satisfied, and the mothers will be upset and stressed out. Okay, it says, when they're hungry, those that don't have the light, this is what will happen to them. They will be enraged. That means they'll be angry. And they will curse their king, and they will curse their God. And they will look upward. And then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. So this is the final call. This is the bell ringing, the shofar blaring, the announcement from the wall, the announcement from the rooftops, from the mountains. Listener, please hear our challenge to all that will consider this. The door of the ark is closing, and right now it's time to put away the old things, forsake the old ways. The party is over. It's time to turn off the stereo. It's time to tell your friends to go home. It's time to change your friends. It's time to dump the lifestyle and the things that you're used to that are keeping you from God, that's keeping you in darkness, because as long as people are in darkness, they're going to curse God. And when you curse God, all bets are off. You just eliminated the last hope, the last promise, the last source of any possible provision to make it, to endure, and to not go crazy and to not be one of the statistics. So that's the main message that I know that burns in your heart. That's the message that burns like fire in my bones. People, get out of the darkness. Submit to God. Shannon, I just put out another sermon recently, last week. It's numbered 163. And I want to challenge all of the listeners that may be struggling with repentance, struggling with the things of the land, struggling with the temptations of Babylon and the vices that hold so many people as prisoners and captives. Go to my website, watchmanscry.com. There is a sermon there. If you listen to it with an open heart, God's going to do something in your life. Shannon, I make that promise.
Because
the Holy Spirit is in that message. So I want the listeners to know this. Now,
this warning is not without hope, is it, Nathan?
It is not without hope, because God is our only hope, and He's the only one. You know, I was seeking God a few months ago, and the Holy Spirit shared with me. He said, Nathan, the people that do not have the fruit of the Spirit are not going to make it. And I said, what do you mean? And the Holy Spirit said, well, look at the list of the fruit. And if you go to Galatians chapter 5, we see the list. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control. Each one of those fruit come from a relationship with God. They come by having intimate encounters with God. They come from a commitment to God. God allows us to share in those things. Now imagine day one of the meltdown, of the grid down, of the lights going out. Day one, those that do not have the fruits. Well, what's the first fruit? Love. Okay, the husband's freaking out. Does he have love for his family? If not, what's he going to do? Is he going to be one of those crazy statistics? Well, I don't need this, and kill his whole family and shoot himself? Well, if you don't have love, you may be tempted to do that. But if you have love, it doesn't matter what you're faced with because of the love for your family and for friends and relatives. You're going to do the right thing, and you're going to deal with the lights being out in the right way. What's the next one? Love, joy. Can we have joy in the midst of doom? Yes, we can. It's a supernatural joy. It's not happiness. It's rejoicing. And rejoicing is the fruit of tears. Rejoicing happens after we've been on our knees and God has broken us and we've submitted our burdens and cast them to the foot of the cross in tears, in heartache, in heartbreak. But something supernatural happens when we're broken before God, because He touches us with the tip of His finger and He places a peace that passes all understanding, that allows us to have a smile on our face in spite of what we're facing. And we could go on. That's a whole other message. That's a whole other sermon. But those are the benefits of allowing ourselves to be submitted to God. We will not have peace that's supernatural if we don't submit to God. All we will have is darkness and travail and anguish. And we're going to see the people act like a bunch of crazy pirates. And let's be honest, they're going to act like bottom-dwelling roaches going out upon the land with no heart, no love, and they're going to just seek to devour whoever they can, because evil will be allowed to be released over this land. Now, I want to, in the last remaining minutes, talk about the potential for what I saw happen in Spokane, the EMP. If it was an EMP blast or if it was a something else, a biological or a chemical, but I want to address if it was an EMP, because in examining how the landscape looks after an EMP, it sure resembles what God warned me about when he told me Lamentations was coming to America. Before I mention the elements of an EMP blast, I have some things I'm going to share right here. I want to do this. I want to read a few verses from the book of Lamentations. And when God gave me this word over a year ago, he said, tell the people Lamentations is coming to America. It's going to be a super depression. If they want to know what it's going to look like, have them read Lamentations. Now, real quick, Lamentations was the diary that was written by Jeremiah the prophet when Jerusalem was under siege by the Babylonians. When the Babylonians came to take Jerusalem, they surrounded Jerusalem. Jerusalem shut their gates and locked them, and Babylon starved them out. So eventually, Jerusalem ran out of food, water, supplies, and then they gave up, and we know history. Babylon came in. During the siege, though, when they were holding out and said, we're not going to give in, Jeremiah kept the diary, and that's what Lamentations is. Now, the Holy Spirit of God said, when you read Lamentations, I'm not rewriting scripture, Shannon, but it just paints a picture. Substitute America in there, and that's the type of things you are going to see happen in the land of America. So I stand by this word. I stand prophetically by what the Lord told me. We are going to see the events written in Lamentations. I want to read a few of the verses, though, just to illustrate a picture. And as I'm reading it, it will be so obvious that it rhymes with America right now.
Yes.
Now, at the time that Jerusalem was attacked, before they were attacked, Jerusalem was very confident. She was very haughty. She was very arrogant. She was full of pride. And she pretty much thought that she was the king of the hill, the most special person on the block, the most famous city, the most beloved city, and no one else was her equal. Now, that is true to a point. Yes, it's true, the city of David. However, Jerusalem allowed those thoughts to take over them, and they became fleshly, and they became idol worshipers. God judged them. In Lamentations chapter 1, let me just start reading right here. Verse 2, it says, she weeps bitterly in the night. Now, this is after the siege is happening. This is going to be America. So substitute and think of America as I'm reading these verses. America weeps bitterly in the night. Her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. Why would that be? Here's why. Because the world's tired of our arrogance. The world is tired of our bullying. The world is tired of us going to other nations. You just mentioned yourself. Our King Obama went to Syria and said that their king had to step down?
He gave the order to Assad that he needs to basically resign. That's what I heard today.
Okay, and then Mr. Vice President went to
China.
He was physically in China. Yes, sir.
So we're so full of ourselves, we tell the world how it is. And at one time, that worked because our dollar was worth something. And boy, their hands were open and they wanted our dollars at the little markets where the Carnival Cruise Line would unload the tourists all around the world in the 70s and in the 80s. They loved our dollars. But now our welcome has overstayed its existence. So let's move on. She has none to comfort her. That means the world is not going to comfort America. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. Who are our friends? They're eliminating themselves one by one, aren't they? They're getting tired of our tactics and our antics. Europe is getting tired of us. Our NATO allies are getting tired of us. Compliments of Mr. King Pharaoh Obama. Let's move on. They have become her enemies. That's happening now. Verse 3. She dwells among the nations. She finds no rest. Why? Because she's stressed out, and because she lies in bed wondering, how am I going to pay that bill? The repo man's going to bang on the door at 3 a.m. and take my possessions. That's what America's worried about. All of her persecutors overtake her in dire straits. Does America have persecutors? You bet she does. Moving on, down to verse 5. Now look at this, Shannon. This is interesting. Her adversaries have become the master. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord has afflicted her. Now let's look at that. China at one time was our sworn enemy. The communists, those evil communists in Russia, are sworn enemies. And now China has become the master. China's the one holding the bag. China's the one that signs the checks. China's is the one that nods yes or no, thumbs up, thumbs down, America. China's the one that calls the shots. And now Mr. Vice President is over there in China begging with his hat out, asking and pleading for China not to give up on us. They're our master now. Oh, how the tide has turned. So now our enemy has prospered, and the Lord has afflicted her. Why is this happening? Is it because our NFL is so popular throughout the world and they say every year 1 billion people watch the football game? Isn't America great? No, that's not why. Is it because we have so many great exports that they love? No. It's because of the multitude of her transgressions, as it says right here. Her children have gone into captivity before the enemy. The lender is not the captive. The lender's not the slave. The borrower is the slave. And here we are, the captive ones, slaves to all of those willing to put faith in our U.S. treasuries. We're slaves to them now. It goes on. Now look at verse 9. Her uncleanness is in her skirts. She did not consider her destiny. Oh, that great charter, that the manifest destiny, Shannon. You remember that? America is great. God bless America. This land is my land and your land. The amber waves of grain. All these great songs that have been written and coined and sung by the proud Americans that at one time were true. And at one time, yes, this land was our land. But unfortunately, the land has been hawked now to the Chinese pawn shop. And I don't mean that offensively, but it's true. The loan sharks of the world are now the ones that have the destiny of America. America's deeds and notes have been signed over to our sworn enemies. How interesting. 70 years ago, Japan attacked us, our enemy, and now they're holding our treasuries. Now they're deciding on our fate. In addition to Japan, we have China holding our treasuries. So our destiny now is in the hands of our ex-enemies. And because the destiny of America has been short-sighted, spit on, and walked over and trampled because of the loss of the compass, the loss of the morality of America, because of this new techno-morality, of this new humanistic modern-day iPod morality, this new MTV morality, this new entertainment morality of Hollywood and dark music and whoremongers and harlots and people who want to have their own way. That's the new destiny that America's placed their trust in. And you know what? Under the skirts of Americans, it's unclean and it's dirty, because that's what we've tolerated. We defend it still. Christians look the other way. The evangelicals assemble and they say the pledge to the flag at their church, and they assemble and sing their songs and they say, God bless America, everything's great, rah, rah. When in reality, the destiny has been thrown away. And look at the rest of verse 9. Therefore, her collapse was awesome. I'm reading out of the New King James. It's going to be incredible. She had no comforter. The collapse of America is going to be awesome, and the thud is going to shake the entire world. It's going to shake the financial world. It's going to give sickness to the whole world when this thing gets going. It's happening already. It's happening before our very eyes. And in Lamentations, we read the future of America. Verse 10, over all of her pleasant things, for she has seen the nations enter her sanctuary. Now think about this verse, Lamentations 1:10. She has seen the nations enter her sanctuary. The most precious possession of Jerusalem was the sanctuary. And to make it to the sanctuary, they had to make it through the other gates, through the outer gates, through the inner gates, the outer courts, the surrounding land. They had to show up within the borders of Israel and march in without resistance. So for the enemy to make it into our sanctuary, that means that, as Star Trek would say, the shields are down. That means that the shield over America, the cloak of protection, the cloak of God's hand that has in times past protected us, is going to be removed. And the arrows of the enemy are going to make it through. And we're going to feel the impact of the missiles. They're going to impact and they're going to fly. And then out of the result of that, verse 11, all her people sigh. When 1,100,000 Hawaiians perish, the people are going to sigh. The people are going to groan in the streets. The people are going to lament. They're going to tear their clothing. They're going to beat their breasts. They're going to say, why? How could this happen? There's going to be a lot of tears. There's going to be a lot of conflicting emotions, a lot of anger, all kinds of responses and reactions. But that's what happens during judgment. The emotions run rampant among the citizens. It continues in verse 11. They seek bread. Why would Americans seek bread?
Oh, my goodness.
It doesn't say that they have bread. It doesn't say they share the bread or break bread. It doesn't say God provided the bread. It says they seek the bread. That's because they're starving. That's because we will not have the bread. Now look at the next verse, Shannon. Look at this. They have given their valuables for food.
Uh-oh.
The rich stockbrokers, the rich Hollywood celebrities, the rich people in every town that lives on top of the hill when they're with their big mansion and turnaround driveway and their fancy shiny cars, they're going to give their valuables because they're hungry. I have this Rolex watch. What do you got? Anything. My daughter's starving at home. This happened in Jerusalem, which, by the way, has USA in it, and it's going to happen once again. Moving on. They'll give their valuables for food to restore life. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am scorned. The money's going to fail. The money's going to enter a season of hyperinflation. We're going to see the years of none, the years of misery, the years of famine. The years of plenty are behind us. That was 1980. Here we are now in the new turn of the century, in the new decade. All the rules are different from this point on. Reading on down to verse 15. The Lord has trampled underfoot all of my mighty men in my midst. That means that God's going to allow defeat. He has called an assembly against me to crush my young men. We read this over and over in the cycles of the rise and fall of morality in Old Testament Israel and Judah. They would fall into Baal worship. They would start serving other gods, and then God would raise up an enemy. And it says it over and over. He raised them up. He raised up Cyrus. He raised up the Babylonians. God allowed it. He did it, and he strengthened them. And think about this. Think about Old Testament Israel. Say they get invaded again. Let's use that date again, the arbitrary date, January the 1st of their year. The Babylonians show up, and they invade them. Well, when the Babylonians show up, they show up with all of their swords and weapons and spears and shields. They have all their supplies. They're well armed. They have their food. They're dressed to the hilt. They're ready to go to battle. And God raised them up. Now, God doesn't give them swords and shields and spears on December the 31st. Their blacksmiths are working day and night, 24/7, for a year in advance, getting their weapons ready so that eventually when the time comes, they're going to get invaded. I submit this right now. This very day, God is raising up the enemies that are going to invade us, even right now. He's getting them prepared. He's getting them well armed. He's getting all the ducks in a row, the plans, the maps, all of the logistical things to work out are happening right now, because that's the next part of the fourfold judgment. You have famine, you have pestilence, but you have the sword. The sword means, as you said, Sun Tzu, the art of war, they come in and they invade, and then they don't leave. They occupy. And that's what we see happening right there. God.
And I'll submit that for the last 20 years, Nathan, China and Russia have been doing that exact thing. As we've been decommissioning bases, drawing down. I was even working with DOD when we were doing a drawdown, and that was 89 to 96. China and Russia have some of the most advanced infrastructure militarily than any nation in the world. Keep going.
Indeed. Okay, so in verse 15, we see God calling an assembly to crush the young men. The Lord trampled, as in the winepress, the virgin daughter of Judah. Now, think about this. If and when, well, actually, let me say it this way. Eventually, it's going to happen. Babylon's going to get invaded by China. It's going to happen. What is the promise that's been made to the Chinese men because there's no wives in China? What's the bounty that's going to be offered to them? Okay, sign up here to be one of our fierce fighting army members of the Chinese invasion force of America. You join here, you sign the dotted line, we give you a nice outfit, and when you arrive in America, you get one of the wives.
Nathan, they have a rule over there. You can have one child only. What are they going to have? They're going to have a boy. That's why they're aborting their daughters, so they can have that one under the quota system. Keep going.
So the bounty of the promise of wives. We saw that over and over in Judgment of Israel. The wives were carried away. And right here we see this. The Lord trampled, as in the winepress, the virgin daughter of Judah. Moving on. Verse 16, I'll read a little further down. My children are desolate. Why? Because the enemy prevailed. We're going to lose this one. I know that in times past, we had Grandpa and Uncle Joe and Uncle Bill and Great-Grandpa here and there, wore their fancy dress blues, and they always felt confident. And, you know, for the most part, when our boys join the military, they really don't think they're ever going to lose, because we're proud and we have the cool video game weapons now in a controlled room, and we can send the missiles from far away and their drones. But we're not going to win this next one. We're going to have a body count There's going to be blood. There's going to be great lamentations in the land. Verse 21, they have heard that I sigh, but no one comforts me. That's going to be the story of so many people in neighborhood, in the country, in the rural parts. Everyone's going to have a story to tell because they're going to know someone that succumbed, that was part of the statistic of those that didn't make it. All my enemies have heard of my trouble. That means the world will have no mercy. That means that our friends will have no mercy. Let me move over to the next chapter, chapter 2, verse 3. He has cut off in fierce anger every horn of Israel, or every horn of America. That means the successful fortresses. He's going to cut them off. He's drawn back his right hand from before the enemy. Is there anything more terrifying than having God knock on the door, or an angel of the Lord representing God, and the angel says, is this 409 A Street or wherever that you happen to live? Yes, it is. I'm from the Lord. I just want to let you know that God's sheltering wing is no longer over this house. Have a nice day. Shannon, is there anything more horrifying than that, to not be under the shelter of his wing, to displease God, for God to say, you know what, I'm tired of this. I've had enough. I've warned you enough. You're not giving in. You're not surrendering. You're not complying. You're not understanding the terms that are non-negotiable. Therefore, my hand is pulled back. And that's what we read right here in verse 3. He has drawn back his right hand from before the enemy. When God's hand removes, it's no longer God bless America. Now it's you're on your own. He has blazed against Jacob like a flaming fire, devouring all around.
Uh-oh.
My cry to everyone listening right now, do not let Lamentations 2 verse 3 happen to you, for the listener. Shannon, how horrible. How horrible. To be on your own, to be, you know, God's going to raise up an enemy, and the intention of this enemy is to show up and do some damage. So as the enemy shows up, our job is to hide under his wing so the arrows of the enemy don't hit us. So that's my challenge. Moving on.
Nathan, you mentioned Jacob, didn't you?
Yes.
We're literally talking about Jacob's final days, aren't we, in that passage?
Yes.
Okay, and I let everything be established about the two or three witnesses. I'll circle back and tell you folks why I asked that question later. Keep going, brother.
The gates have sunken to the ground. The shields are down. The cloak is down. The bubble has a hole in it. There is a breach in your wall. The fortress has a brick or two missing. The levee's breaking. He has destroyed and broken her bars. And what happens when that occurs? Her king and her prince are among the nations. The law's no more. Her prophets find no vision from the Lord. Shannon, we need the shields of God around us. The angels of the Lord encamp around those that fear God and protect them and shield them. The Lord is a shield. He's the lifter of my head, the glory of my head. We depend on that. You know, is there any reason to exist, to be starved of God? I mean, if a person was without God, how horrible, how great is the darkness, as we just read in Isaiah chapter 8. Moving on, verse 12. They say, now look at this, Shannon. They say to their mothers, where is grain and wine? As they swoon like the wounded in the streets of the city, and their life is poured out in their mother's bosom. In other words, Shannon, they're saying, I'm hungry, Mom. Is there anything to eat tonight? What do we have? Shannon, is there any sadder question as a parent to hear a child say that, and for the parent to say, I don't know, or nothing? Here in America, we're going to see that. Verse 13, how shall I console you? To what shall I liken you, O daughter of Jerusalem? The end part of verse 13, for your ruin is spread out as the sea, and who can heal you? Again, all bets are off. Your prophets, now look at this in verse 14, it's the cry of people like you, Shannon, and other messengers of God. It seems to be part of the package for the last days, end time, remnant, watchman message. Right now, God has seemed to open our eyes and let us know that there are false prophets in the land, in the churches, behind pulpits, lying to the people of God. And it says right here in verse 14, your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not uncovered your iniquity. How sad is that when you can go to a church and sit there for a 45-minute sermon and not feel ashamed and not sigh and cry that you're a captive to the sins of the land, not sigh and cry, to not be challenged to sigh and cry over the antics of Babylon that occur around you, to not sigh and cry over the billboards and what you see in the magazine racks at the checkout stand. How many people tolerate those things? How many people can read those things and be apathetic and say, oh, well, that's just the way it is? It is so sad that in this day and age, so many pulpits are wasting time. They're wasting my time when I hear them. They're wasting your time and the time of the people because they're not bringing back the captives. But look what it says. It goes on. They have envisioned for you false prophecies and delusions, promising wealth, promising prosperity, promising to use the Bible as a book of witchcraft.
PBN Daystar. I inserted that, folks, in the parentheses.
Exactly. It goes on and on, doesn't it? The mighty wealthy ones, the clerics of deception that are behind pulpits now, the clerics that have been allowed to build big palaces and castles for themselves, but really, there are clouds without water. There are whitewashed walls.
Jesse Duplantis.
Jesse Duplantis, exactly, with their fat airplanes and their shiny Rolls Royces, and they're lying to the people because they have not uncovered their iniquity. And God's had enough of it. Verse 16, all your enemies have opened their mouth against you. They hiss and gnash. They say, we swallowed her up. Surely this is the day we waited for. We found it. We have seen it. So they're going to celebrate our downfall. It goes on. The Lord has done what he purposed. He has fulfilled his word. Shannon, at the mouths of two or three witnesses, and at the mouths of how many messengers, at the mouths of how many crying out right now, get right with God, repent, the judgment's coming, the judgment's here, like a bullet train, it's arriving, it's shaking the land, it's plowing the fields, it's plowing all our wealth, and how many people are listening to that? God's word is going to be fulfilled. There are so many prophecies that are, you know, none of us are special, Shannon, none of us. But when God gives a prophetic dream and it comes to pass, it's because God wants to warn. And over a year ago, I published that drought was going to come to the land, that the cattle were going to become skin and bones, that the land's going to turn into a desert, they're going to lose the champions of the field, their cows, the south, it's going to be parched, the sun's going to scorch. God gave that prophecy, and here we go, right now. I'm hearing the reports. It's happening. We're rhyming with what we saw in the first judgment of the first depression. The Dust Bowl has returned. People, it's here. No matter how the news spins it, it's not global warming. God may be using the science of man or the science of nature, but overall, this is the fourfold judgment. It's famine, and God's word is going to play out, and it's happening before our very eyes. So,
it's played out before, Nathan. Even in Jacob's time, I'm talking the final days of Jacob, the patriarch, the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, and one of his sons, Joseph, was prepositioned in Egypt. And it went down just like that, Nathan, and there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, Genesis 47:13. So the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine, and Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth. Our money's failing right now. And Joseph said, give your cattle, and I will give for you cattle if money fail. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses, and for the flocks, and for the cattle of the herds, and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. When that year had ended, they came unto him the second year and said to him, we will not hide it from my Lord, how that our money is spent. My Lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my Lord, but for our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread. And we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh, and give us seed that we may not die, and the land that may not be desolate. And I just go on to say that the money failed. They then were forced to sell their land and their cattle, and then they had to go into slavery, ultimately, just to get the land, just get the food, so that they would not die. And then ultimately, as you read on, Nathan, what the Pharaoh did is he basically forcefully relocated the people into certain areas, and they became slave labor. What a similar parallel we seem to be going on. The money's failing. If you go up to the gas station, Nathan, and you can't afford $4 a gallon, what do you do? And you can't afford to fill up your car. You don't drive your car after a while. What happens when you can't afford the food or there's no food to buy? You don't eat.
Exactly. Exactly. And moving down, by the way, do you have Lamentations in front of you?
I will get there. You keep going. I just saw that parallel there and I said, wow, we've seen it before, haven't we?
We sure have. And the reason I asked that is because in Lamentations, I want to move forward to chapter 4. It's exactly what you just said, verse 1. I mean, look at the first sentence right there. Do you have that?
Lamentations, chapter 4, verse 1. Here we go. Got my sword out here. How has the gold become dim?
There
you
go, Shannon.
How has the most fine gold changed?
The money fails. People don't care about that gold tooth anymore and the gold dust and the sprinkling of dust when you're starving.
Nathan, that was the first step, wasn't it? The gold fell, then they had to give what they hadn't left the land. Now, let me ask you this question. If our money fails, we become persona non grata around the world. And then we're really at the mercy of the people that do have the resources, China, Russia, some of these other nations. Russia could turn off the gas pipeline at any point in time, and Europe can go dark from no natural gas. What would China say? Well, you have no gold. What else do we have to bargain with? Oh, you've got some farmland over there, don't you? You've got some property. They could become the new deeds to much of America, couldn't they? I'll give it back to you.
They are, and we're about to read that. Verse 4, but before we get to that, look at verse 4. The tongue of the infant clings to the roof of its mouth for thirst. To the young children ask for bread, but no one breaks it for them. You know, Shannon, reading this, it doesn't matter what the certificate is on that person's wall. It doesn't matter how many PhDs and degrees they have. When you're hungry, you're hungry. And reputation's not going to save people. It's going to be a different landscape. The rules are going to change. It goes on. Those who ate delicacies are now desolate in the street. Oh, the wealthy ones, the prosperous ones, the royal ones are now desolate in the street. Those who were brought up in scarlet embrace ash heaps. Now, why is that? Are their houses burnt? Are the cars burnt around their city? Are the buildings burned? Did the looters burn down? We're going to talk about that as we start talking about the EMP, but the landscape, this is terrible. Look at verse 8. Their appearance is blacker than soot. They go unrecognized in the streets. I guess when you don't have any water, running water to take a bath, you're going to be pretty dirty, aren't you? And then it goes on. Their skin clings to their bones. It has become as dry as wood. The New World Order's great weight loss plan, coming soon to America, the famine that will be the king of all famines. Verse 9, those slain by the sword are better off than those who die of hunger, for these pine away, stricken for lack of the fruits of the field. Imagine that. It's better to be in the afterlife than to continue seeing what's going on. And we're going to see massive, massive suicides. We're going to see people that are going to be Harry Carrying, murder suicides of their family. It's going to be so, so horrible, the things that are coming.
Nathan, let me make one statement. Folks, we're getting ready to go off the 3-hour live stream, but we're still live and on tape. If you want to continue to listen to Nathan, you're going to want to dial into the switchboard at 917-889-2745 or Skype in. We're continuing on. Go ahead, brother.
Okay, and we'll have another break at the top of the hour.
Yes, sir.
Okay, going on. Verse 12, the kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy could enter the gates of Jerusalem. How often do people think that? We have our NORAD. America has their missile defense shield. No one can break through. That thing is impenetrable. They're mighty. Nothing can hurt them. They're the Hercules of the world. But Shannon, according to what we read here, it's going to happen because God said Lamentations is coming. Verse 18. Oh, look at this one. They tracked our steps so that we could not walk in the streets. Now, how could that happen, Shannon? Police state, martial law there?
Oh, my goodness. GPS tracking, satellite tracking, martial law, roadblocks.
Exactly. Our end was near. Our days were over for our end had come. Right there, that's police state. Verse 18. The chip. You have to take this little thing and it'll help you. It'll let you get your allotment of rations for your starving family.
You'll like
RFID
it.
RFID chip? Oh, my goodness.
Look at verse 19. Our pursuers were swifter than the eagles of the heavens. They pursued us on the mountains and lay in wait for us in the wilderness. Big sister, big brother?
Yes.
We're going to see all of that transpire. These days are coming, Shannon. That's why Lamentations is so, so prophetic about what I'm talking about. God was very clear. These things are on their way, and they're coming. So, it's 8 o'clock now. Are we going to take a break? Or?
Folks, we're going to take about a 5-6 minute break, and we'll be back for the conclusion of this show. This is a live program right now with Nathan Leal. Nathan, before we go to break, would you give out your contact information and tell people how they can tune into the programs that you're doing and support the ministry and work that you're doing at Watchman's Cry?
Well, thank you, Shannon. You can go to watchmanscry.com, and all of my audio messages are there in the archives. After I do a radio program every Tuesday, it goes up on the front page, and then the sermons are also on the front page. But you can go to the audio link and click on there, and you can download them and listen to them. If you want to contact me, there's a contact link. And if you are so moved that God has touched you and you think that it would be a good thing to support and help our cause, then we have a link on our website as well for that.
Praise God. Folks, we're going to take about a 5-6 minute break and be back with Nathan Leal for the conclusion of this program. Stand by, and we are going to break now.